Well, we'll get started with this program. My name is Rudy Edmond, and I am a geologist, and tonight we're, for the next hour, going to be talking about Holden Trails, some of which will be information directly from the trails, some of it will be from some of the high country where there are no trails, but basically I'll try and keep you oriented as to where we are. Now, when you come into the village, you get a good orientation to Main Street and to what goes on in terms of the program here within this immediate area. It's my purpose tonight to try and orient you to the area off of Main Street and out in some of the most beautiful country there is in this part of the United States. Namely, the Glacier Peak Wilderness area in the Northern Cascades, where you are in the Wenatchee National Forest. So I'll try and keep you informed as to where the pictures are being taken, so that if you wish to hike in the high country and take the trails into the wilderness, that you'll have some idea of what you might see. And if you can't get out on the trails and hike, then maybe this will serve as an introduction to what you might have seen or what you may come back to see at some later time. So I think without any further introduction, I'll turn the lights out and we'll start with the slides then. I like to start this with a map. That way we can keep oriented as to where we are and where the slides are being taken. First, here's Wenatchee, which is a place that you're probably all acquainted with. And then you came up to Chelan and took the Lady of the Lake up Lake Chelan. Now, what I wish to show you this evening is basically the area around here, which includes a good part of Glacier Peak Wilderness. And the geology of the area involves a great deal of the glacial history. And one of the things that happens outside of this immediate area is when the ice melted out, there was a very heavy flood that came across a good part of the state of Washington. This is often referred to as the Spokane Flood. And the Spokane Flood occurred somewhere around 35 years ago, and it resulted from the melting of the ice up to the north, which was dammed up for a long time and included a great lake that where the dam gave way, and then the water simply came rushing across the state very fast. And I want to show you in the next slide what happened as a result of that. Now, this is one of the valleys that was formed by that very sudden flood of glacial ice and water that came across the area, and it literally tore out these lava flows that you see across here. Now, the interesting thing about these valleys are that they have no streams in them, but they were all formed by streams, and they're referred to as coulees. And so this is the characteristic thing that we see outside of the Cascades proper and where the snow and the ice accumulated in such great thicknesses. Now, we come then to Chelan, get on the Lady of the Lake, and go up the lake. And this is the older Lady of the Lake, which is still on the lake, but the newer boat is much larger and is used for most of the tourist season. Now, as you go up the lake just a little ways and look back, you begin to note these low-lying hills at the lower end of Lake Chelan. This is a natural dam that was produced when the ice moved down this valley to this point and then melted out. And as it melted out, the material that was being carried in front of the ice was simply left as a dam, and when the ice melted, there was a natural lake, which in this case is a very large lake, about 50 miles long, with a dam at the lower end, and there was also, of course, Recently, a dam added, which raised the lake in another 21 feet. But basically, it is a natural lake formed by glacial action. Now, when you come up to 25 Mile Creek, one of the things that's immediately apparent across from where you park your car is this series of terraces, and they are gravel terraces formed at a time when the lake stood at that elevation rather than where it is today. The present height of the lake above sea level is about 1,100 feet. But during the time, and perhaps maybe it was at the same time that the Spokane flood was occurring, this lake was dammed up also by the water back of the ice barricade across the lower end of Lake Chelan. Now, as we go on up the lake, one of the things that you observed was that as you go up the lake, you see no beaches. There are no beaches on either side. And basically, the rock wall comes right down to the water and goes down, you see, in a very prominent, deep trough coming up on the other side. And actually, at this point in the lake, the water would be well over 1,000 feet deep. And probably right in this general area, it's over 1,500 feet deep, which means that if the level of the lake now is 1,100 feet, the bottom of the lake is 400 feet below sea level. And this is characteristic of the kind of thing you get in many areas, such as Norway and New Zealand and other places where the ice, because of its great thickness, is capable of scouring out the bottoms of canyons below sea level. And then, as you know, in Norway, it produces the fjords because the seawater then comes backing in here. Well, this is all fresh water because we're a long ways from the ocean, and even though it's below sea level, the water in Lake Chelan is all fresh. Now, as we come up further up the lake, you come to the Railroad Creek Valley area, and this valley is a valley that is hanging above the level of the lake. You remember that when you got off the dock, you came up a series of switchbacks until you got up to this level, and then it leveled out somewhat as you came on into the village. Now, you come up about 2,000 feet, and when you add to that the fact that the lake is 1,000 feet deep, you can see that this valley bottom really is more than a half a mile above the bottom of this particular valley. And that's characteristic of the canyons and of the valleys that we see here in the Northern Cascade Mountains. We'll see other cases where that also is shown. Now, you come to the Holden Dock here, get off of the Lady of the Lake and onto a bus, and then on up the switchbacks to in the direction of Holden Village. Now, if you stop on the switchbacks and look back, this is the view you have. And you can see that Lake Chelan continues on up around this point to Stehekin. And at that point, you would be in the North Cascades National Park. Now, the lake here is very deep, and the upper part of it, you see, is about 50 miles from where we started at Chelan. Now, when you get to the village, the important thing here is associated with the program and the people who come here for renewal and so on. So you're well acquainted with that part of our Holden program, and what I want to do is to show you some of the other things. Now, at Holden, we celebrate every possible occasion, including the 4th of July and Christmas in July and whatever else comes around. But to get beyond Main Street now, I want to acquaint you with the countryside and with some of the people who were involved in the development, particularly of the mine. This is Mr. Barquist. And Mr. Barquist was the employee who came in here with the Howe Sound Mining Company. He was an engineer and a geologist, and he was brought in 1928 to survey the possibility of opening up a mine here at Holden, which would be a major mine if opened. It was his conclusion, after studying the area for 4 years, that the mine should be opened, and he recommended that to the company. Well, as soon as his study was completed, he left. And he had not been back until 1966, when he and Mrs. Barquist came back to Holden Village here. And he was very pleased with what had happened, and very glad and that it has all turned out the way it has. And it was his belief that perhaps this is really what God intended for this area, that the mine would be developed, that the gift would be given, and finally that we would be here and having the kind of program that we're acquainted with here in Holden Village. Now, there's another point here I want to make about Mr. and Mrs. Barquist. They lived up in what is now Honeymoon Heights. And Honeymoon Heights is an easy hike and up the mountainside a ways, but take your time. It's a wonderful place to take pictures. Honeymoon Heights was named because this couple was a honeymoon couple in 1928. And Mrs. Barquist, so far as we know, was the only woman who lived in the valley here for the 4 summers that they were working on the geology and the core drilling of the mine area. Now, to go across from the village here to the mine, it was necessary always to cross Railroad Creek. The company built a footbridge, and that footbridge was completely covered. As you can see, part of it is still here. Part of the cover is now shown down on the bank here of Railroad Creek. But eventually these logs gave out, and now we have a new bridge that crosses Railroad Creek, a footbridge which is located at the same place, really, as the old one that the company built. Now, when we get across the mine, this picture was taken by people who lived here at the time the mine was in operation, and I've been able to acquire it so I could show it to you. This is what the mill looked like. And you can see it was a very fine structure and a very large structure. There were several buildings up at the upper level here and several buildings down here. All of those buildings now are pretty much demolished and broken down, mainly for two reasons. One is that the snow really bore down on all of these roofs to the point that many of them caved in. And then a salvage operation took out a great deal of steel out of the mill, and that further weakened the whole structure to where today it looks like this. And you can see that really only a skeleton of that beautiful building still remains. But it's a landmark that will stand now for a long time. Now, to get acquainted with some of the mountains now, as we see them in the pictures, I want to point them out. This is Bonanza Mountain, and it is the largest and the highest mountain of all of the crystalline mountains within the Northern Cascades. So that there's a glacier that exists right here, and another one over on this ledge. So it's with also glaciers on the back side. The elevation of this peak is 9,500 feet. And we are in the village at 3,200 feet. So you can see that it stands well above the bottom of this particular valley. Now, the mine was developed by finding ways of pouring into the mountain, and diamond cores were taken, core drilling was done, and wherever the geologist found evidence of ore, the core was split. And the split sample, as you see here, was sent to the assay house, and this was then refined and smelted out, and the amount of metal that could be extracted was determined, and that then provided the basis for a study which could tell whether it was economical to extract the ore from the mountain. The split cores, were broken down and pulverized so as to get the concentrate of the chalcopyrite, which was the mineral that produced the copper. And when they got it down to a concentrate such as this, it was sent on to the Tacoma smelter, where the copper was actually removed by a heating process. And that was never done here at Holden Village. The main problem of the mill, or the main process, was to extract the ore from the rock. And then what was left over from the mill came out to this area as tailings. Now, as you see, when you look across the valley, there's some 80 acres of these tailings that were spread out across the valley, across from Railroad Creek, where we are. And the question is often asked as to why the color of these tailings. They appear orange, brown, and yellow, and so on. And here you can see from this slide what really has happened. When the tailings were first put out here, they were black. And the reason I can show you this picture is that in 1963, Copper Creek overflowed its banks and actually cut into the tailings. And when it did, it exposed the old tailings, which were not altered by the presence of water and air. And so what really has happened is that the iron has rusted. And that same thing would happen to my hammer. If it were left out in the rain and the air, it would have the same color as the tailings now. So that in the early days, the tailings were black. Now, it's characteristic that the iron rusts very easily, and the iron is associated with the ore. Now, here you can see an outcrop of rock, which is all rusty. And this is on the trail to Holden Lake. Now, if you look at this and line it up with the old tailings over here, you can see that the ore body has an alignment, really, that puts it in line with this outcrop. The company prospected for another ore body over in here, but didn't find it. They also prospected for an ore body back in this mountain, which is Buckskin Mountain, and they were unsuccessful there. So that they finally had to conclude that the only ore body that they could work was the one that they were in Copper Mountain, which became the major ore body of the Holden Mine. Now, at the upper level of the tailings up here, the coarse tailings, we used to have our evening vespers. And so we simply used the old beams from houses or from the buildings that were torn down and made church pews out of them and brought our group up to this position. I wish we could still do that, because look at the view that you have of Bonanza Mountain, North Star Mountain, and the mountains on both sides of the valley as you sat in this worshipful kind of scene. The mine itself had one tunnel, and this is the portal to the mine. And our new museum now is named for the portal, which means the opening into the mine. And you can see here the electric engine and the cars that were pulled in and out of that tunnel, which was a half a mile back into Copper Mountain before you got to the ore body. Now, when the concentrate was brought out from the mill, then it was loaded on trucks. And you can see a truck here. And that truck has three of these barrels, and each barrel weighed 5 tons. So you can visualize these trucks going up and down the switchbacks that you came up with 15 tons on the back of the truck. You see, and that was something that went on for 20 years while the mine was in operation from 1937 to 1957. Then it was located, and then it was transferred onto a barge, and then from there on it went down the lake. Here's the tugboat that used to pull the barges and haul the barges of concentrate down to the end of the lake. And then the buckets of concentrate had to be transferred to trucks and then to the railroad, and finally it went on to Tacoma for smelting. Now, coming back to the village here, I want to show you that we did not have a hike house in the early days, and what we had was what we called our gallop pole. And the gallop pole simply meant that you galloped if you wanted to go to Copper Basin or Heart Lake or wherever. And these arrows simply pointed the direction and you started out. Now we have the benefit of Hike House, and I would encourage you to contact them as you think about making the hikes back into the mountains. Now, at this point, where the picture is taken was the old miner's village. This is where the families built their homes. And the families, after building their homes here and living in them, finally the homes were wrecked and they were bulldozed down and finally leveled out. But the purpose in showing you from this location, this is what you would have seen had you lived in the house that was right here. I want to take you now to this point up here and let you look back. From there, that is the top of Buckskin Mountain, and if you just hold on, we'll be up there, and we're now there. So now you can look down, and as you look down, you see the rusty-colored tailings here. You see the lodges where we are right now, and the chalets here, and the picture, the previous picture was taken right over in here, in the old miner's village. And you can see that this village extended over this whole area and included 100 homes at one time while the mine was in operation. Now, as you look across the valley, you see Martin Ridge. And this is the ridge right back of us, right back of the Holden Village here. And it goes on up to this point, which is Martin Peak. And Martin's Peak is just opposite Holden Lake. So now I want to just turn the camera to the left so that you can look further up the valley. And as you look further up the valley, you can see now that you see here's where Holden Lake would be. Here's the glacier above it. Here's Bonanza Mountain. And down here is Heart Lake Falls, where Railroad Creek is coming over this hard ledge of rock. And then beyond that, you see North Star Mountain and the two peaks that you see from Main Street here in the village. This is the red one. And that is a part of Dumbbell Mountain, which you can see also is a very large mountain. And the other point that you see is a point that's about at this position. So you see two minor peaks on the slope of Dumbbell Mountain, and it's only when you get up in the high area that you can really see. Now we're turning the camera into Copper Basin, where some of you may have hiked already, and this is a basin that has a trail into it. The trail is steep, but one of the purposes in showing you this slide is to show you how rugged the points are around the rim of Copper Basin. These are very ragged rock projections, and the reason they're there is because the ice simply froze onto these walls, and this was all filled with ice. And as the ice moved out, it carried the rock away, and it also oversteepened the walls so that you get an amphitheater-like effect in the upper parts of all of these canyons because of the glacial activity. Now, we're now at the lower end of Copper Basin and looking out, And the village, of course, would be right down here, just barely out of sight. And right back of that is Martin Ridge. Martin Ridge goes all the way across and clear up to the top here of Martin Peak. And Martin's Peak then is going to be our destination as we go across the valley. And the next picture I'll show you will be taken from up in here. And we can look back then across the valley to where we are right now. Now, as you look back, you can identify your position by the tailings here. And also, this is Copper Basin, where we were. Copper Mountain is here. And Buckskin Mountain is here. And the trail, you can see a part of the trail going right up here. And the falls, you see, is here. Now remember what I mentioned about the hanging valley. Here is another hanging valley. You see, it hangs above the level of the valley down here. And so that is typical, again, of the glacial development of these particular canyons. Now, as you go around the end, the lower end of Martin Ridge, which is here, you come around this way in getting up, and you can look into 10 Mile Creek Canyon. And this is 10 Mile Creek Canyon, which is parallel to Railroad Creek Canyon. And there is a trail of sorts that will take you into this canyon if you wish to make that kind of a hike. And you could inquire about that at the hike house. Now we're going to proceed and get up on top of this ridge and then follow it in this direction. So the next slide is up on top, and we're looking now at this peak, which is Copper Mountain, and moving up in the direction of Dumbbell Mountain. And this is Dumbbell Mountain. And again, you see a hanging basin, which is Big Creek Basin. And Big Creek Basin is the same kind of a basin as Copper Basin, but the difference is there is not a good trail into Big Creek Basin, so I wouldn't encourage you to try to get back into this basin. You would find a great deal of brush, be very hard going. Now, as you get further up the ridge, this is Martin Ridge on our right. We're now high enough that we can look down on Holden Lake. And this is Holden Lake. And you get a good view now of the glacier, which is above Holden Lake. And this is Bonanza Mountain now. You're up far enough that you can see the full expanse of that. And this is North Star Mountain. Let's continue up another notch. Now we're up to almost the peak. And the next picture will be taken from right up in here. And we'll look across country from that vantage point. Now, as you look across country, you see Holden Lake here, and Bonanza Mountain here, North Star here, and here's Railroad Creek, and you can see Crown Point Falls right here. Right up in this ledge here is where Lyman Lake is. Cloudy Pass is right up in here, and then back here is Glacier Peak. Now, Glacier Peak is 20 miles away from us here in the village, and you have to hike that far to really get up close to it. And we're going to see that because we're going to take the trails up in that direction. So let's get back on the trail now and follow the trails as we go deep into the wilderness area. When you go up the road past the village center here, the road becomes this trail. And it leads you right past this sign, and when you pass that, you know you are in the wilderness area. Now, as you hike on up, in this case, going in the direction of Holden Lake, one of the bonuses that you have is that you can look out, and you see individual beautiful trees. This happens to be a very big cottonwood tree sitting up on the mountainside, and it's one of the beautiful sights as you hike along. Now, we're getting up high enough now that we get another view of Dumbbell Mountain, which is the big mountain up near Heart Lake. This is the red mountain you see from the village. This is the gray point that you see from the village. And you can see that Dumbbell Mountain is one of our most beautiful and massive mountains when you get far enough out that you can see it, the full extent of it. Now we're working up the trail to Heart Lake. And the trail takes us along Railroad Creek up in the vicinity here where the trail goes on over and then into Heart Lake, which would be just back of this ridge. One of the things I want to call your attention to is the fact that there is an old cabin right over in here. And you can see it actually from the trail over here, but you have to watch very carefully because it's pretty well hidden in the trees. And there is no trail to it at the present time. This is what it looks like if you would get over to it. And it's built of very massive logs, and it was built sometime around the turn of the century. Actually, we don't know how old it is, except that it is at least that old. It may be 100 years. And the fact that it's still standing is remarkable. And it's probably only because of the very large logs and the very slanting roof here. And visualize what happened here in the early days when this was built was probably a time when the prospectors were very active in the area. And this is one of the cabins that was used at the lower end of Heart Lake to prospect that red mountain. Now, this is the lower end of Heart Lake, and there is a log dam at the lower end. The beaver cut tremendous logs up in here, and they've floated down to the lower end, and they actually raised the level of the lake somewhat. But if you like to fish, this is a good place to hike to, and the kind of fish you might expect to catch would be something like this. They're all trout, and they're mighty good for breakfast, so if you're interested in fishing, that's a good place to go, and it's only 4 miles up there. Now, if we go beyond Heart Lake, the trail takes us up through this valley, a beautiful valley, and we're now on our way to Lyman Lake, and we go through a series of switchbacks right up in here, and we wind up on top of this ridge. Let's look at that falls from a switchback, about in that position, which gives you an idea of what you would see from the trail. Now, that is Crown Point Falls. The next picture we will take will be from right up here on top of Crown Point Falls on this ledge, and we're going to look back down the valley. Now, as you look down the valley, you see Heart Lake. That's where we were just a moment ago in the previous slide. You also see, in this case, a beautiful example of the scouring out of the valley by the effect of ice. Ice has simply moved along here and planed off all of the rocks, and it has oversteepened these walls. And that is the characteristic thing of all of the canyons of the Northern Cascades. And Hard Lake is simply a place where the rock was a little softer and the ice was able to gouge out a hole. And when the ice melted behind this ledge, then you see it left a natural glacial lake. And we have many of these in the area. Lyman Lake is a similar kind of lake, but it's farther up the valley. It's about 8 miles up to Lyman Lake. And this is the way it looks in the early part of the season. When there's a lot of snow and ice, it's higher and it doesn't melt out as fast. Now, when you go on to Cloudy Pass, Cloudy Pass is normally snow, or at least practically all of the summer. This is taken somewhat late in the summer. And the thing I'd like to call your attention to here is the what we refer to as the accordance of summit levels. In other words, all of the levels of the high peaks and ridges come about to the same level. And really what you have then is an old plain where these rocks are very rotten for the most part. So when you get high on these ridges and on these peaks, the rock is very loose. And so it's not a good place for mountaineering because you can't really trust your rock to hold and it slides under your feet. And the reason for that is that at one time, not too long ago, geologically, this whole area was much lower and it was planed off by erosion. And then the whole area was uplifted by about a mile. And when it was uplifted, it attracted rain, and that produced canyons and river valleys, you see, that developed. And then when the climate changed, which was later, then the ice and snow filled into these river canyons, and the ice simply moved down the old streams that were formed much earlier and rounded them out and shaped the canyons into glacial forms, which are so beautifully displayed here in this valley at the present time. Now let's look further at what happens in glaciation. Here you see Lyman Lake, and you can see there's another step here. And you remember we've been coming up the valley by a series of steps. And that is typical of glacial erosion. Here is a glacier. This is Lyman Glacier, an active glacier that's still the easiest glacier to hike to. If you want to really see a glacier and be on one, and I caution you to, if you do that, be sure that you get good information, because hiking over glacial ice is very hazardous, because the ice is always moving. And it means that cracks open up. And you have to take precaution that you don't fall through and into one of those cracks. But this is a live glacier. It's there mainly because it's on the side here where it's somewhat protected from the sun. And so it has not melted out. But this whole amphitheater was full of ice at one point, and now the only remnant that's left is right here. And this then is Lyman Lake, and the upper lake here is called Upper Lyman Lake, and then the glacier. And that is typical of that particular head of the Railroad Creek Canyon. Now, we're moving on beyond Cloudy Pass and moving on to Miner's Ridge. And as we do, we can look down another canyon. This is the canyon that leads down to Stehekin. And so the Agnes Creek Valley, leading right down through here, a trail all the way, so you can stay right on the trail from this point, go down to Stehekin, get on the Lady of the Lake, and come down to the Holden Dock, and then up on our bus, and you see you would have made a round trip. And it would take you at least 2-3 nights. You should spend 3 nights out in order to traverse that distance. But it would be a hike that could be made. Now, we're going through the Miner's Ridge in the direction of Glacier Peak. This is our first view of Glacier Peak, where we really get a good view of it. Now, you can see that Glacier Peak is a pile of volcanic material that's on top of the general level of the Sierras. You can see the level back here. And you can project that right under here and over here. And so this mountain now is 11,500 feet, whereas Bonanza is 9,500 feet. And the reason is that the volcano has simply formed this cone on top of the old eroded plain of the Cascade Mountains. Now, it's well named because at this elevation, all of the ice and snow remains. That is, it doesn't melt out completely during the summer. So we have glaciers here on all sides of the mountain, and it's typical of that kind of elevation when you get this far north. Now, this is Image Lake. And Image Lake, as many of these lakes, are surrounded by beautiful flower meadows. So as you go to Golden Lake or Image Lake or many other of these lakes, you find beautiful alpine flowers. Now, one of the reasons that this is called Image Lake is this. And you see that if you're there at a time when the lake is absolutely still, you know, then you get Glacier Peak reflected in the lake itself, and it's a beautiful sight. Now, we're about 20 miles out now. We've gone beyond Image Lake to a fire lookout where you can really see the extent of Glacier Peak, and you can see this volcanic material piled up here on top of the high cascades. And glaciers you see radiating out like spokes from the top of the mountain in every direction. All of this is beautiful forest, but you see there are no trees above this level. And this picture was taken late in the summer, and that is all of the snow that's going to leave before it starts snowing again and piling up for the winter. Now, we're on our way home from Glacier Peak, and you get an idea of the kind of trail you would be walking on and the kind of view and vision that you have out from the trail and the kind of flowers that are at your feet as you simply look down. You know, and you could sit down and count many species of wild flowers, you see, as you hike along for many miles on this upper trail in the Cascades. Now, I include one slide to show you what an avalanche scar really looks like, where you can see it. Here it is. And you can see that what it does is literally crush all of the big trees in its path, and it just cleans it out. So there's nothing left here but brush. Now you see a beautiful example of that if you hike to Holden Lake these days, because there was a big avalanche right next to Holden Lake this last year. Now, the reason for the avalanche is the oversteepening of this area by glacial ice. You see, the ice moved along here, and it just made the wall too steep. And so when the winter snow and ice accumulates up here, in the spring it tends to give loose, and then it comes all the way down to the bottom of the canyon and produces a very, very powerful avalanche of snow and ice. On our way back, we have a view of this mountain, which is Fortress Mountain. That's the largest mountain we see from Miner's Ridge as we're hiking back to the village area here at Holden Village. Now, we're almost back to the village at this point. We're out of the wilderness and we're into the camp area just above the ballpark. And I include this to show you that the Forestry Service provides camping areas along these trails, and if you want to go into the area and go hike as far as you want, you will find places along the route where you can camp in reasonable protected areas and in some comfort. Now, if you wish to just take a hike within the village, one of the places I would recommend that you go is down to 10 Mile Creek. Now, the trees in the bottom of this valley are beautiful in that they are so tall and so straight. There's very little wind in the valley, particularly during the winter time, and the snow simply falls and doesn't crush these trees, and they grow very tall. And as you hike down to 10 Mile Creek, this is what you see when you get to 10 Mile Creek. It's a rapids and a fall, and that leads on up into the canyon that I showed you earlier, which is parallel to Railroad Creek Canyon, just on the other side of the ridge. Now, by contrast, we have to look at this, because if you're going to develop a mine in a beautiful forest and wilderness area, there's going to be a scar, and there's no way to avoid that. This is the way the mine area looked in 1962 when I first came here in 63. And now, a bunch of this area has been reforested. We've planted lots of trees, and the green is gradually coming back. So that while we inherit this wonderful gift, we also have an obligation to try and cure, heal this scar in nature as much as we can. And so we're busy at trying to clean up the area and to plant trees and to encourage vegetation to grow so that we can more fully enjoy the forest that's here right in our midst. By contrast, again, let me show you an area where almost no one will get this summer. A very few people will go to Dole Lake. Dole Lake is down the valley, and it's only a relatively short distance from here, but you have to climb up to above 6,000 feet, and when you get up there, you find that it's very much like this at the present time. Some of the people, there was a party that went up there a week ago, and when they got up there, they stayed overnight, and in the morning when they got up, the lake was frozen over. And that was just last week. So you see that they were not too far out of the winter. When you get at this elevation, it's very cold, and it's apt to freeze most any night, even during the heart of the summer. So this is Dole Lake. Pristine beauty without any real evidence of trails or no intrusion into this area, essentially by humankind. So it's a very native wilderness scene that's very beautiful. Now, I include one slide of a cascade. Now, you can find cascading water coming across every trail that you hike. And this kind of fresh water, which is simply the snow that's melting up on the high ridge, coming down, is perfectly clean. You can drink it. You don't have to carry anything except to cup your hand and enjoy the fresh water as you hike along these trails. One of the things that happens in the late afternoon is that the snow melts very much during the day. On a hot day, these streams will swell, and you'll find that maybe it is very easy to cross the stream in the morning, but when you come back in the evening, you're apt to get your feet wet as you get across these streams. Now, we're going to take the trail up to Holden Lake. And this is the trail. Identify our position. There's Buckskin Mountain, there's Copper Mountain. You can see the tailings from the mine. And we're on our way. Now, we've arrived at the lower end of Holden Lake. And this would be earlier in the season. The snow is all gone now. But early in the season, this is typical of the way it looks in June. Now, a little later, you can see, and not too much later, there's still a lot of snow. And this is a view across Holden Lake, looking at Buckskin Mountain and Copper Mountain. So the village is right below here. And this hike takes you out about 5 to 6 miles, and you climb approximately 2,000 feet. So you're up at a higher level. It's a good trail, switchbacks, and it's relatively easy, but it's a full day's work. Now, at the lower end of the lake, this is the way it looks right now. The snow has melted out. There's only a little patch of snow up in here. And this is a good place to fish, and you would enjoy making this a fishing trip as well as Heart Lake. Now, one of the bonuses in hiking to Holden Lake is the opportunity to walk through this stand of Douglas fir. And it's a very heavy stand with very old and very large trees. When you get inside of it, there's no underbrush because it's almost dark inside. And that's characteristic of that kind of dense forest. Now, we want to take a different trail. We want to take the bus now down to the bus dock or the boat dock, and then get off and cross Railroad Creek and start up on the other side to Domke Mountain. And the trail to Domke Mountain takes you right out over this point where you overlook Lake Chelan, and Stehekin would be up in here. And so you get a beautiful view of Lake Chelan and the mountains that lie beyond in the Northern Cascades. When you get to Domke Lake, this is the beach at Domke Lake. Bring your suit along. You're seeing the whole beach right here. But you can also fish from the same beach. But you can see the difference now from the other lakes, from Holden Lake, for example. Notice that the forest and the brush comes right down to the shoreline. And it's hard to fish along here because you can't quite get to the water. And that's because it's 1,000 feet below where we are here. And so the plants that you see and the trees and all will be somewhat different, and it will be a variety that you will enjoy. If you like to fish, there is no better lake in the whole area than Domke Lake. All of the fish in Domke Lake are rainbow trout, and they're nice size because it's lower, there's more food, the lake is larger, and so that is the reason for it. The proof is always when you get it in the pan, then you know it, how it tastes. Welcome. And this is a campsite at Domke Lake. And if you look across Domke Lake from that campsite, you can see you're not that far from the village, because here you can identify Copper Mountain. And the village would be right below, so you're about 12 miles or so from the village proper. But you can take the bus down, and you only have 3 miles to hike from the bus to get up to this particular point. So it's a good trip, but it's an overnight trip because of the way that the bus schedule works out. Now, the other thing you can do when you get down to the dock is to get on the Lady of the Lake and go up to Stehekin. And this is a view at Stehekin. This is the upper end of Lake Chelan right here. This is the end of Lake Chelan. But at this point, you can get a shuttle bus that will take you up to see one of the most beautiful waterfalls in the Northern Cascades. This is Rainbow Falls. And the drop from here down is 312 feet, and there's a considerable volume of water that's present at the present time. Now, we get back to the map, and just to remind us where we've been. Here's Lake Chelan. Holden Village would be right in this position. We have seen a good part of the Glacier Peak Wilderness in this area, including Glacier Peak. And now the thing I would call your attention to is the great expanse of the North Cascades here and Highway number 20, If you are here by car, I'd recommend that you think about driving across the Northern Cascade on this route, which is a beautiful highway, open only in the summer, well engineered, and you would enjoy the scenery all along that particular part of the lake. Now, while you're in the village, you're refreshed by the program involving people. This is Roland Bainton, for example, the great Luther scholar who has been here on a number of occasions, and other people who continue to come here year after year. So you have been refreshed, and you have also hopefully had an opportunity to be out in the wilderness and hike the trails and see some of the great creation that is unmolested in a great part within this particular area. So, as you enjoy the feast of life, we also enjoy the gifts of this environment, and we hope that you leave and go home much refreshed for having been here. Thank you very much.